Hi, welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvins-Deltari, and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Like I have said many times before, I fully intended when I started this YouTube channel to dive into all things genealogical, and I am. But right now I've been focused for the last little while on Nefijawa, the king's daughters, and we are exploring. It's become an obsession, and I'm on, I think this is number 76. There are hundreds to go, and I intend on profiling each and every one of them who have descendants, because I want to honor them. It began as a simple little, you know, little biography of my own Fijawa, and it has turned into just really honoring these amazing founding mothers, as I call them, of Quebec. So if you're interested, I have a website called Have Roots Will Travel. I'm also on Facebook. And if you have any questions or suggestions of Fijawa I should do, please, please have a look at that. I also love to find out if you're a descendant from this particular line. You can email me, lisa@haverootswilltravel.com, or post a comment below. I look at everything. So thank you so much in advance for, you know, sharing some of your time with me. Let's get started, shall we? Fijawa was a program begun in 1663 by the intendant Jean Talon. Have a look at the video that I produced called The Program 2.0. That'll give you the ins and outs of the program and give you a little bit of background as well. Let's see who we are profiling this episode. So this week we are profiling her name is Jeanne Ogier, and she is a viewer request. I do not have her in any of my files. So let's get to know Jeanne. Jeanne was born in the parish of Saint Benoît. The church itself no longer exists, but this is an illustration on your right of what it would have looked like. It was situated in the 5th arrondissement. Remember, arrondissement means circle, which is the oldest in Paris, and was actually built by the Romans. Traces of this area's past still survive in such sites as the Arène de Lutèce, which is a Roman amphitheater, and we have some Roman baths as well. It's also known, this 5th arrondissement is known as the Pantheon, and it's found on the rive gauche of the river Seine, and so the left bank of the river Seine. The 5th is one of Paris's most prestigious districts, and found within this arrondissement is a section called Le Quartier Latin, which doesn't mean that it's Latin. It means that it was overflowing with universities, colleges, and extraordinary high schools since the 12th century, when the Sorbonne, where they taught in Latin, was created. It's also home to the National Museum of Natural History and Jardin des Plantes. Now, you'll notice that her parents are Savien Ogier and Marie Ruel. You'll notice also that there is no date. We don't know exactly how old she was. So let's have a look. So Jeanne left for New France in 1671, bringing with her goods about 300 pounds. So there's no evidence that her parents were dead. So it might be that she simply selected to go to New France for a fresh and exciting new life. So who did she select and who selected her? Well, his name was Sébastien Nollet de la Rivière. So it's also known as the river. So Sébastien Nollet, also known as the river. So interesting. He was born in 1644 in Saint-Pexien, which is a small commune, a township of about 300 people today, in the region of La Vendée, which is an area where the ancient province of Poitou was. This is an area which is notable as another area where the Protestants or Huguenots fled to. The church where Sébastien may have been baptized no longer exists and was destroyed by the 18th century by a little thing called the French Revolution. It was originally built in the 9th century, and the first mention of a parish of this name dates to the year 1093. The Catholics and Protestants would fight out their differences, and the church at Saint-Pexin was one of these casualties. So Sebastian as well decided to come to New France. He arrived before 1665, and he can be found in the census of 1666 as an indentured servant of Guillaume Fignoux. So that's an interesting little tidbit. So Sebastian would have been an indentured servant for about 3 or 4 years, 3 years for sure, and then would have gained his freedom and would presumably have acquired something, some kind of either land or money, that sort of thing, and was basically waiting for the right woman to come along. And she arrived in 1671. And they were married in Quebec City on October 26, 1671. Here is the marriage record for them. And just an illustration of it didn't look like this when they were married, but this is the church in Quebec City. So they decided to settle in a place called Lauzon. And Lauzon had been settled back in 1636 by a man, obviously named Lauzon, who was basically an absentee seigneur. His son, Jean de Lauzon, would actually take it over in 1651 and have it for another 10 years. And it was the third son, Charles de Lauzon, who would take it over and have it for another 30 years. It's during his tenure that Lauzon grew and became a true place to create a home. These maps are amazing maps in terms of how the seigneurie was laid out. One of the principal people who founded this area, his name was Guillaume Couture, which is, of course, not our principal protagonist of our story, but it's such an interesting story for those of you who may have this in your ancestry. He was the true founder of Lauzon as he was its first inhabitant. He was originally a Jesuit. He was an extraordinary man who at one point in his life said, "I need to leave the priesthood." And he was working with the Indians, doing so many things. He had so many jobs as a priest, but he decided, you know what, I want to settle down and marry, which he did. The story of Lauzon would not be what it is without this man. And so I always like to honor that as well. And some of you may find that you have some of this connection with this gentleman being from this area. And some of the founding families of Lauzon include names like Bissou, Carrier, Brulotte, Gay, Albégin, Huard, and Bourget. And speaking of names, when you're looking for Lauzon, and let's read the caption together. We have Cap de Lévis, we have Côte de Lauzon, we have Saint-Joseph de la Pointe-Lévis, we have Saint-Joseph de Lévis, we have Pointe-Lévis, and we have Pointe-Lévis. So all these places end up being Lauzon. So just so you know while you're researching. Let's have a look at the family they created. François, their firstborn, married Marie-Louise Miranda, and had 7 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Jean-François did not marry. Marie-Anne died, unfortunately, at 17. Constance did not marry. Louis married Marguerite Dix and had 4 children, all four of whom made it to adulthood. We have François Bonaventure, who would marry twice but have no children. Marie would pass away in infancy, and Jacques would pass away at 19. The second Jacques would marry Marie-Jeanne Coulomb and have 9 children, but only 3 of whom would reach adulthood. Marie Coulomb's grandmother was Jeanne Boucault, who was a fille du roi and who we'll be featuring in a future video. So that's interesting. But you can see this particular descendancy, they did not have a lot. So we'll explore that in a minute. Well, they would eventually establish themselves in Beaumont, which is a beautiful world, if you will. And one can also say that, and I've been doing a little bit of research on this particular town, and a lot of settlers from Île-d'Orléans would end up being the founding of this. So in a sense, Île-d'Orléans is the mother, the founding mother of this particular town. And frequent contact with the islanders remained in between Beaumont and Île-d'Orléans as they went to church, and that they went to the island to hear the mass. Eventually they would have their own church. 1672 is when the intendant Jean Talon, he granted Charles Couillard, the seigneur de Beaumont, from the east of the village to the current road to Saint-Charles. And François Bissou, the seigneurie de Vincent, the west of the town. So it was kind of like two different little places. This became a place where eventually they would merge and grow. But at that time, very small village, very, very small village. Now, Sébastien would die August 15, 1708, at a relatively young age, not terribly young, but still 64, and he's buried at Saint Etienne de Beaumont. Jeanne would pass away October 18th, 1735. Can you imagine? And she passed away at the age of 89. Just amazing, remarkable longevity to this lady. Now, what's interesting about this couple is it's one of those couples that did not have that many descendants as of 1729. Remember that I said that it was a viewer request. I did not have this in my files or anything like that. But it turns out that in 1729, there were only 22 descendants of this particular couple. Now, what makes it remarkable is that no matter they had 22 in 1729, obviously that line continued to grow. So it's not where you start, it's where you finish. So my viewer who requested this really can lay claim to a line that endured no matter, they didn't have 100, they didn't have 300 by 1729. They only had 22 people. And obviously that grew and continued to flourish. So it very, very interesting to see how the line did not die out and is still represented today. Want to point out some resources for you to continue your research. We have La Société des Filles du Roi, which is an organization that I belong to, and I'm also the membership chair. Fascinating website. You'll find lots and lots of info even before you become a member, which I hope you become. You'll get a beautiful piece of paper with your ancestry and all of that good stuff that you can frame. But even before I became a member, I would use the site as just kind of, oh, is this a Fille du Roi? They have a beautiful listing of it. And so really remarkable. And I would encourage you to explore that website. And one that I have looked at recently, and I'm a member as well, is a Facebook page called Les Filles du Roi Descendants. I think at last count, there's 5,000 on this Facebook group. So it's really remarkable. And then we have a wonderful website called Migration, which I always say should really be everything you ever wanted to know about Les Filles du Roi, but we're afraid to ask because it's all on there. Have a look at that. I know it's in French. Some viewers have written to me. I think you can translate it, you know, based on that. I obviously read French, so I never have that issue. But I think that it is pretty self-explanatory, and it's truly a labor of love for the people who are doing it. So I would absolutely support them. So have a look at that as well. And with that, we leave Jeanne Auger and Sébastien Nolet de la Rivière, and we thank them for their contribution and for their longevity, because somehow their line has survived. So really remarkable to see that small amount of descendancy keep going. So we thank them as well. And with that completes episode number 76, and I'll see you on episode number 77 very shortly. Until then, au revoir.